This is the Software and Technology Podcast, your B2B show for the best thought leadership in the industry, bringing you information, education, and inspiration, only on MarketScale.
The more diversity of thought of the people working at tech companies, the better.
The blockchain idea was around 91, the same idea of in a digital world, we need verifiable documents.
At work and at home, technology has become an increasingly integral part of everything we do, to the point that it's hard to imagine what our days would look like without computers or smartphones. And this has really placed an emphasis on the security of our tech, and here to talk about that and much more is Mark Davidson, the IT manager at Western Reserve Area Agency on Aging. Mark, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So before we dive too far down that IT rabbit hole, Mark, can you give us a quick summary on who Western Reserve is and what you guys do?
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit organization that generally focuses on the older aging population as well as handicapped. Basically, our mission statement is we want to provide services for people to live independently in a place that they want to call home.
Absolutely. It's wonderful stuff that you guys do at Western Reserve. And so I admire that a lot and love getting a chance to chat with you guys when I have the opportunity. And today we're talking a little bit more about cybersecurity and IT, which is something you know a lot about. And I wanted to start off just by talking about what's at stake when we talk about cybersecurity, because I know there's the temptation to view these threats as maybe nothing more than annoying spam emails and, you know, things along those lines. But it can be much, much more than that. And so I want to start off there. When we talk about cybersecurity, what are we really talking about and what's at risk when we discuss these threats?
So more and more our world is becoming, it's a more data-focused environment now. Basically, you look at someone's phone. A few years ago, someone's phone just had, you know, their contacts, call history. Even if they had a web browser on it, it held very little information. Now, if you basically have your life in your pocket, you know, it has your banking information, it has pictures of your kids, it has, I mean, you name it, it has it on there. It tracks where you go. So it's really, it's a great tool, but it has to be utilize properly and go through the necessary steps to secure yourself.
So more and more, it's becoming apparent that data is being collected on us at any given point, which has kind of increased our data footprint, I suppose. How can people be more aware of what data is being collected on them, what data they are just sharing freely out into the world? What are some tips that you have for people, both in a business sense, but also just in their personal lives about what information they're sharing out at any given time?
Yeah, so generally what I tell our staff is just try to take that 10,000-foot view of your life, what you have available for the general public to see. You know, you go on anyone's Facebook, you know, they have pictures of their family, they have pictures of their kids, they have all types of information out there that you may think might be just innocent data out there. But, you know, when it comes to people creating their passwords, I know a lot of people like to make something that's familiar to them. You know, if they make it something that's easily guessable, you can open yourself up to a world of hurt. You know, people can get into your bank account. They can get into all of your other social accounts. A big thing is email. People might see email as just a way to communicate, but it's also a way to have yourself taken advantage of. You know, if somebody, everyone's received spam emails. Phishing is big. Phishing, if people aren't aware, it's you know, essentially that you're phishing for information. So you're throwing out the bait and seeing who's gonna bite. A lot of times we'll see that happen with organizations. Someone will email someone in an organization, make a fake email account from the CEO and say, hey, can you go buy something for me? But keep this discreet. I don't want anyone to know it's a gift.
Wow.
So people are sneaky. People are really sneaky out there. I mean, a huge tip that I tell all of our staff is to change your password regularly and don't use the same one for everything. Because, you know, if you think if your email gets compromised or your Facebook, big deal, you'll change the password and you'll be okay. But what if that's the same password for your bank What if that's the same password for, you know, your healthcare, your doctor's office for right. your medical records?
Right.
That could be a big problem.
Absolutely. So what are some things that people should look for when it comes to identifying these phishing emails or identifying these scams? How can people be vigilant and keep an eye out for them?
So especially around the holiday, the time of year we're in right now in December, it's people are spending a lot of money online, and you know, cash is king, and right now data is king. So make sure that if you get an email that seems a little bit too good to be true, it probably is. A common tactic for scam artists are to mask the display name, and a display name in an email address is, you know, if you get an email from Bob Jones, it will say Bob Jones. It'll say Bob Jones at AT&T.net. That might say Bob Jones, but it might just be, if you check the email address that's hidden underneath it, it might be just gibberish at some website from Lithuania.
Right, right.
Always check the email address. If there's a link and you're on a computer in the email that you're not sure about, hover over it mm-hmm. and see what the address says. If it's not that legitimate website, don't click on it, because that's more than likely spam.
Interesting. Those are some really, really good tips. I'd never really thought about the hovering over the link idea. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
So if someone suspects that they might have, you know, clicked on a bad link or opened an email they shouldn't have opened, and they are now like the victim of a phishing scam, something along those lines, what should they do? How do you kind of close that off now that you've kind of opened that Pandora's box, let's say?
So there's a number of ways to look at that. It could be a malware attack, or it could be someone just trying to get access to your accounts. If it's a malware attack, you have a much bigger problem. We'll get into that a little bit later. But if it's a phishing attack and you accidentally type in your password on a website that is not legitimate, you immediately should change your password. And if not, turn on dual-factor authentication for your account if it's not already enabled, because that person could go in, if they already have access to your email address, they could reset that password and get your new password and essentially lock you out of your accounts. Dual-factor authentication is a great blocker for spam, well, being taken advantage of. And basically what that is you'll get a text to your phone, and it will give you like a 6-digit PIN or a push notification. And you basically say, give yourself a thumbs up that is you. There's really only one way for the spammer to get in your account at that point, and that is to have your phone as well. And that's very unlikely to happen.
Yeah, that's a little bit harder to come by, I suppose. So is that one of the things that you would recommend to a business to put into effect, right? Is to have two-factor authentication anytime you need to log into anything that has sensitive business information or personal type stuff, is to make sure that there is a two-factor authentication system to make sure that a company's private information and private data stays private?
Oh, absolutely. And especially for an organization of our type, we have third-party systems that, you know, handle our patient information, and that's a big regulation. We go through security audits every year to make sure that everything's in tip-top shape, and using dual-factor authentication is a must. We have that rolled out to our IT staff, and we are rolling that out to everyone else. And basically, you know, if you want to get into your email offsite, you gotta make sure that it's you getting in there.
It's one of those things that at the time you kind of, as you're going through the process just to get into your email, you're kind of cursing it, but you know that in the long run, it's probably saving you a lot more time and a lot of headaches in lots of other ways than not having it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, that's I think a lot of cybersecurity is sometimes you think about it and you think, oh, it's you know, this is an extra step or an extra thing that you have to do. But taking that little bit of time on the front end to save yourself, I suppose, on the back end really is a large part of what cybersecurity is, right? Is that the internet has made it so easy and convenient just to consume a lot of information and to put a lot of information out there and that sort of thing. But taking that next little step into just to make sure that you stay secure is a really good idea, probably, and something that more people should probably adopt, right? Is that we have to change our mindset ever so slightly just to say, I'll take these extra 30 seconds or whatever just to get into my email. It's not going to ruin my day if it takes me 30 extra seconds. In the long run, it'll protect me in a much larger way. Is that just kind of a change of mindset that we have to get into nowadays just with the landscape that we're in?
Yeah. You nailed it right on the head there. It is a barrier that we have to cross, and you don't really want to, you know, tell people to do things because no one likes to be told what to do.
Right.
If you explain the importance of something to somebody, they're more apt to go along with it. You know, I kind of use the analogy of, you know, you have to go get your tags on your car every mm-hmm. couple every year or every mm-hmm. other year. You know, it's just one of those things that you have to you really should do, because if you don't, it could put you in some trouble.
Absolutely. So what are the basics that companies and individuals should know to protect themselves these days? We talked about two-factor authentication. What other kind of basics are out there that individuals should know, but also companies should be putting into place to make sure that they stay protected?
From an IT standpoint, every company should use least privilege. And basically what least privilege is, you only have access to things on your network that you need to do your job. I know that there's some company owners that want access to everything because they're the owner.
Sure.
But realistically, you know, they've got so many things going on. And if they're, you know, you leave your iPad at the airport, everything in your company could be compromised at mm-hmm. that point. Mm-hmm. So practicing least privilege is 101. That's basic first grade stuff with IT. That if you don't do that, there's a problem there. Another thing is password security. You know, create a long password. Some people have trouble remembering a password. They always tell you to use uppercase, lowercase number and a special character and have it be like 10 characters long. Write a sentence and then add a exclamation point or some character in between words. If you write a short sentence there, you know, it could be as anything as, my favorite month is November and the color blue is blue. You know, it could be something as stupid as that. And
sure.
That's a very long password.
That would meet the requirements, I would guess.
Yeah. Also, don't write down your password in an obvious place. If you have to write it down, using a password keeper app on your phone that is biometric blocked, which is whether you're using an iPhone with the thumbprint or you're using the face scanner, that's very secure. Also, if you have to write it down, write it somewhere that no one would expect to go. Mm-hmm. You know, don't put it underneath your keyboard. Don't tape it to the lid of your laptop. And yes, I have seen that many times.
Oh, sure. The sticky note right there at the top of the laptop.
Sure, yeah, sure. Yeah. And make it not obvious as to someone who knows you. A lot of times with cracking people's accounts, it's through social engineering. Somebody even in your personal life can be like, "Hey, you know, how's your dog doing? What was her name again?" And then, you know, they have your dog's name.
Sure.
Or, "Hey, you know, back in high school, I used to drive that old beat up Toyota Camry." Or "I was born in such and such city." You're just giving them all the possible answers to your security questions.
Right. Oh, man, that's a really good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. So I can't stand those security questions for that sake, because it's all basic stuff. And if you have to, make it kind of like an inside joke and like make up the answers to something that people wouldn't know.
Right.
Yeah. And that's another reason why dual factor is so good.
And you mentioned biometric kind of password protection, I suppose, you know, thumbprints, face scanning, and that sort of thing. Do you see those continuing to become a bigger and bigger, I guess, more widely used gradually over time? And are they more secure than just your typical password?
I do see them using, people using them more often than not. For one, it's ease of access. It's easier for the end user to just put their thumb or scan their face on there. Mm-hmm. You know, people are worried about Big Brother taking your face, but come on. If they want your face, they got your face. You know, I mean, realistically, there's cameras on every street corner. There's cameras in everyone's pocket.
Right.
But using biometrics is great, along with using a password. Mm-hmm. If you're going to set up your system in a certain way, it may get annoying. But the more important the information is, I would suggest using biometrics and a password.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really, I see what you're saying there. And again, just adding, you know, that extra quick little step in there just to make sure that you stay fully protected, fully secure, makes a lot of sense. So let's talk a little bit about what you've put in place at Western Reserve to ensure protection there. Because you mentioned a lot of sensitive information. Anytime you're dealing with, you know, healthcare records, things along those lines, that's sensitive information that you really want to make sure stays under lock and key the way that it needs to. And so what are some of the protocols you've put in place there at Western Reserve that other people can maybe follow those models?
Sure. So I spoke on having dual factor authentication, that we use a product called Duo, which is excellent. There are many different policies that you can set. You can get really granular. You can get very broad with the policies that you can set. Have a great password policy. Reset it numerous times a year. Don't allow people to use the same password with just, you know, a one or a two after. What I do is I like to send out little trick emails. So I'll send out little tips, things that people might not know or things that might be completely obvious. You know, everyone has a different background. Everyone has a job to do. And not everyone's job is to be an IT expert.
Right.
And I understand that. And, you know, if you get frustrated with people not being the most tech savvy, you're going to be a miserable person because, you know, not everyone, you know, has that background, and that's totally fine. But if you help them be educated in the field that they help them be educated in, you know, just the day-to-day tools that they use, mm-hmm. it's going to help them a lot. And it's going to get their brain moving. I tell everyone, if you have any questions at all about technology at home, or, you know, it might not have to be work related, but my door's always open. Come and ask me a question, and that will allow them to be more secure in asking questions. I always say that no question is a stupid question, because the last thing you want is someone to see something and go, oh, I'm just going to shut down. this virus, I'll just shut down. Maybe it'll stop. So education is key. Dual factor authentication, passwords. We also have a really nice piece of software on our back end that allows us to monitor basically all the changes in our files. It monitors to see if there's ransomware activity going on, or it blocks external IP addresses from accessing our network. So we really have to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. Every company should. You know, I've talked to numerous people who work at hospitals, and they say that their systems get attempted to be cracked about 2 million times a day.
Wow.
And it's just automated bots just sending requests.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really crazy to hear. And you know, one of the things that you mentioned, and I think that this is, I think that's a really good policy, is just, you know, feeling the freedom to approach you and ask any questions and that sort of thing, right? I think that maybe portrayal in different media outlets has not been kind to IT professionals, and just, you know, would suggest that you guys, you know, can't talk to you or you're closed off or that sort of thing. But you've done a really good job of just expressing how open you are about helping people with any problem that they have, and that there's no dumb question or anything like that. And I think a lot of times people think, oh, I'm not smart when it comes to computers, so I can't go ask Mark a question. But that's clearly not the case, and I think that's really an awesome policy, and it gives people the freedom to ask any question and to come to you with any issue that they might have with anything tech related.
Yeah, sure. There's one thing that I don't allow, and that is people saying, I am not a computer person.
Today you are a computer person.
Everyone, there's no such thing as a computer person. There's just people. And, you know, a computer is a tool. You know, you don't say, I'm not a car person. I back into cars all the time. You know, it's you're a person, and it's we're here to help you. There's infinite resources out there to assist you along the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially with our agency, we want to help our own. And if we help you in your personal technology endeavors as well as your work, it's going to make the agency stronger as a whole.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, I have learned a lot, and this has been a really informative and fun conversation. And so thank you so much for taking some time talking to me about cybersecurity and keeping your IT safe and protected these days. I really appreciate the time, and I hope we do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.